Welcome to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I am Ryan Dobson, joined by Lou Ann Crane, and our host, as always, is Dr. James Dobson. And on our last broadcast, guest Dr. Archibald Hart had this to say about the subject of depression.
In fact, we were designed for depression. This is not something that comes out of the blue. God designed us. Ecclesiastes 3 says there's a time to be sad. There's a time to grieve. There's a time to be depressed.
Well, that's a pretty provocative statement, isn't it? Mm-hmm. He went on, though, to explain that depression can be one of the means that God uses to bring about healing for our souls. And if this captures your interest, you definitely want to stick around because we have more from Dr. Arch Hart and his daughter, Dr. Catherine Hart Weber.
They joined our host, Dr. James Dobson, in the studio last time to talk about how men and women handle depression differently. And if you missed any of that conversation, we do trust that you'll consider going online to hear it, or you can give us a call and request a complimentary copy of that CD. Our number is 877-732-6825, and our website is drjamesdobson.org.
And here's just a little more about our guests. Dr. Arch Hart has written a number of books about the subject of depression. One is called Unmasking Male Depression, and another, Unveiling Depression in Women. The latter was written with his daughter, Catherine, who is joining us on this program. She is a licensed marriage and family therapist with a special expertise in this area.
We certainly have a lot to cover today, Lou Ann. So with that introduction, let's go ahead and hear the balance of the interview now as my dad, Dr. James Dobson, starts it off on this Family Talk broadcast.
Catherine, I'm going to address the first question to you. And it's a true and false question. True or false, really deeply committed, solid Christian people who love the Lord do not get depressed?
Well, I think that would have to be a definite false. If you've read the Psalms, it would have to be a false.
It's important to understand that because many people who are depressed begin to think that God doesn't love me. It is amazing how that translates. Early on in my professional life, somebody shared with me, I think it was my father, a concept that came from a quote, and who knows who's the author of this, but this is the statement. The mind, the body, and the spirit are very, very close neighbors, and one usually catches the ills of another. So if you are physically ill and depressed, you tend to be emotionally depressed. If you are emotionally depressed, you think God doesn't love you. And the right. three sides of that triangle influenced one another. So it's a complex thing, isn't it?
Absolutely, Jim. And you've put your finger on what I think is one of the biggest mistakes we can make in our Christian subculture, and that is to separate these compartments too much, as if each one is independent of the other. I don't believe that's biblical. I believe that we are one whole. Who I am spiritually impacts who I am emotionally, impacts who I am physically, and the other way around.
So you have seen a lot of people in your professional life who are Christians. By any definition, they love the Lord and are struggling with depression.
Absolutely. And the reason is because there are many types of depression. And many of them are suffering from serious genetically induced depressions. They can't blame it on anyone, you know. You blame your parents for the genes that gave you this.
Have we identified genes?
Oh, absolutely.
Specific genes.
There's no doubt about it now. And there are some genes that are specific to certain types of depression. But there also now, more recently, an understanding that some genes are what are now being called susceptibility genes. In other words, what you inherit is a susceptibility to stress. That for you, stress, the same amount of stress that could lay on someone else and hardly phase them on your life is going to work havoc with your brain chemistry. And you will experience depression. And you can be the most godly person on God's earth. And that physiological weakness, it's your weak link, is going to manifest itself in depression.
So when people shame you for being depressed and saying, snap out of this. You ought to know better than this. Sometimes it's just not easy to do that.
It's not easy to do, and it's not helpful because laying that burden on people adds another dimension to their depression. Now, there are some depressions that are psychological. They are, we call them reactive depressions because any loss, any significant loss will make you depressed. But then there's a whole other group of depressions that are endogenous or biological. And these days, the most significant category under that umbrella is the stress-induced depressions. We now know that stress plays havoc with the brain's neurotransmitters, the brain's chemistry. And a lot of the depressions we see today are the consequences of that biochemical change.
Give us a definition of stress. We've talked about it before, but bring it down to its simplest terms.
Into its simplest terms, anything that puts your body in emergency mode is stressful. Yeah. And the system involved is primarily the adrenal system. And the adrenal system produces 56 different hormones, but two of them are very, very significant here. The one is adrenaline, and we all know about adrenaline rushes and adrenaline depressions, you know, the letdown after you've been on a high. But the second one is now the one that is getting all the attention. That's cortisol. Cortisol, a stress hormone that goes to the brain and blocks a number of receptors there. That leads to depression. And you can be a man or woman of faith. You can be someone who I could be the greatest prayer warrior on God's earth. And if the stress in your life gets out of control, and sometimes you can't always prevent that stress, these mechanisms will follow and you will experience depression.
There's a very important understanding right there that I hope our listeners will pay attention to. Stress not only occurs for adults, but for children. And what we're finding out now is that when children are born and in the very early years raised in very dysfunctional families where they may be abused, they may stand in a crib for 2 or 3 days with dirty diapers burning them, horrible things happen to kids. And some of them aren't fed right, some of them aren't loved. In the inner city, particularly where you have, it doesn't have to be the inner city, when any family where there is a cocaine addiction or an alcohol addiction and kids are not well taken care of, it releases those hormones, especially cortisol. And it floods the brain. You all know this. I'm telling you something you know. And damages the receptors in that part of the brain. And that child will be different forevermore.
Yes, and not only damages receptors, but we now know that it blocks certain memory circuits. It can impact learning ability. So their schoolwork is going to suffer. They're not going to grow intellectually as they should do. And one word captures all of that. Any chaos in a child's life is going to raise their level of stress, push up the cortisol levels with a whole host of consequences.
Some of those kids will never feel for others again. They have done research to find out why a 14-year-old can shoot somebody in the face who doesn't do anything but just look at them wrong. Well, they may have experienced this brain damage as a result of her early stress. Catherine, have you been tracking that research as well?
Yeah. In fact, I read something recently that showed that even in the womb, a pregnant mom who's very stressed can give off her stress levels to the baby and make the baby then more vulnerable to have a lower threshold for stress, so that the cortisol that the mother is giving off in her body actually impacts the child.
That's right.
And
so
what it comes down to is, is family dysfunction leads directly to stress for everybody, from unborn to the aged, doesn't it?
It does.
And I tried to write about it. I'm doing too much talking. I'll let you do the talking. In bringing up boys, I talked about the boys' vulnerability to family dysfunction. Talk about that with reference specifically to boys.
Well, let me give a personal testimony here. As you know, my parents divorced when I was 12, and I wrote a book about that some years ago. And as a result of the chaos in my family life, in retrospect, Jim, I now know that I was depressed all my adolescent years. It went on until my early 20s.
Nobody told you that, though.
I didn't know it. Nobody else knew it. No one realized it. But I, in retrospect, I can remember that dark cloud that hung over me all those years. I'm only thankful that I have not, I hope, suffered any permanent damage from all that. But I think if I hadn't have early in my life done some of the things, I was fortunate that God put me in a place where I could learn about stress and research stress and write about it, and very early put into place some of the principles that I think are important. I'd hate to think where my life would be today. But I can personally attest to the fact that a chaotic childhood background, family background, is devastating to a child.
And it is usually tougher on boys than girls. People don't realize that. When a divorce occurs, the girl usually retains her primary role model
and
her mother, and the boy loses his.
That's right.
And his father. Catherine, jump in here.
I think for girls as well, they experience loss, emotional loss, a lot more than boys. I mean, boys experience loss. But for girls, they're very vulnerable to the loss in relationships, the loss of attachment in relationships. And if there isn't that sense of connection with the father or continuing connection with the mom, girls are really vulnerable then to look to other places to fill that place of being loved and being valued and getting that feedback.
Catherine, how do males and females experience depression differently?
Well, I think very simply.
In the causes
simply,
and in the manifestation.
Very simply, in the experience of depression, women tend to experience it more inwardly and hold it in and feel it inward, and men and boys tend to do it, express it more outwardly. Mm. So you'll see, for instance, men will be more vulnerable to be working long hours and to playing a lot of golf and to addictive behaviors and getting on the internet and pornography and that sort of thing, anger outbursts.
These are the masks.
Which are really masks of depression in men. Mm. But women, and depression's typically seen in women, such as being emotional and crying and feeling sad and that sort of thing. But now we're realizing with women, some women aren't showing it that way. They just will keep going, and they will say, I don't feel anything, or I'm not sleeping well, or I have a lot of pain in my body. And that's too can also be a depression. I don't feel good about myself. I just don't have interest.
Hmm. Let me take a page right out of your book. I'm referring to Unveiling Depression in Women, and especially the differences between men and women. For men, depression is experienced differently. They blame others. They act out of turmoil. They need to maintain control. They're overly hostile, irritable, attack when hurt. Mm-hmm. They try to fix the depression with problem solving. They turned, as you said, Catherine, to TV, sports, and sex. They feel ashamed. They become compulsive, and they try to maintain a strong male image. Women blame themselves, turn feelings inward, have trouble maintaining control, try to be nice, withdraw when hurt. They try to fix things by trying harder. They turn to food and friends and emotional needs. They feel guilty. They procrastinate. They have difficulty with deadlines and delays, and they disintegrate at the slightest failure. There's a real sexual difference between men and women.
There's no doubt about it, Jim. There is a difference. And thinking back on my own clinical career, for years, I think I misdiagnosed men. I did not see the depression. The standard criteria of symptoms, as we get in our, you know, diagnostic manual, are mainly describe women's depressions, not men's. And I, in retrospect, I think for years I missed many male depressions, because what I saw was this anger, this hostility, this irritability, sometimes spousal abuse, sometimes family abuse, that, or go the other route that superficially seems better, the workaholism, you know, invested in what you're doing. And this is where the male depression phenomenon is. And it's only in recent years that we've begun to realize how men are so different in manifesting their depression.
What do you recommend to the woman who sees depression in her husband who isn't going to admit it? He doesn't want to admit there's anything wrong emotionally or mentally with him. That's an insult to his masculinity. Or a man who sees his wife who is under this slough of depression.
Well, I think in terms of a woman being depressed, there are so many reasons why somebody could be experiencing depression. It's really important to understand why. And so I would really encourage, first of all, a full physical examination to encourage
get to a physician.
To get to a physician.
Check out the body.
To see this could be a something to do with side effect of another medication. There are so many physiological reasons, especially for women, it could be hormonal.
Yeah.
And we got to get into that
absolutely.
For sure. But that is absolutely number one. So I think it's very difficult when you're depressed to get yourself motivated to get in there and to go. So sometimes you need a friend, or maybe the husband can say, get a friend to help, or he can take her herself. So that is really the first, go and get some help. First, get a physical examination.
For both teenage girls and for a man who's concerned about his wife, I would recommend that they plot this depression and see if there's a cycle to this thing, because it's often related to PMS, isn't it?
Could be. Definitely could be. Mm-hmm. So that is something
first.
If
it occurs about every 28 days,
it's definitely. If it's 2 weeks out of the month and it's just before the cycle, yeah, definitely. And like I said, the symptoms, not just necessarily the typical, especially with adolescents and with men and some women, it's not just the crying and what you typically think. You've got to realize that it could be the irritability. It could be eating a lot and not sleeping well. Some of those are still feeling a lot of pain, aches and pains. Those are still symptoms of depression.
Mm-hmm. And for a woman who has to live with a male who they suspect is depressed, I think she needs to go and get some good counsel. She needs someone. She needs to be talking to someone to guide her through, because it is very easy to reinforce bad behavior in depressed men. Their anger can be so intimidating that you surrender to it, and so he gets his way all the time. And if you stand up to it, you could provoke a very serious consequence. So you really need good counsel.
All right, let's talk about some of the remedies and some of the solutions, and let's begin with medication, with the pharmacological approach.
The first thing you have to determine is whether your form of depression can be treated with medication. Now, the type of medication that is used in depression is quite different from other types of psychotropic medications. It's not the same as tranquilizers. For instance, antidepressants are not addicting. That is a big myth. I call it a satanic lie.
Hey, let's put that in neon. Say that again. I hope everybody heard that.
Unlike other depressions, antidepressants are not addicting.
And so when people are afraid to take them for fear that they're going to get hooked
dependent
on
it, it doesn't happen. It's quite the reverse. The problem is that there's such a long delay between when the medication you start taking it and when it becomes effective that there's no way that your brain makes the connection between the two. So most people, the biggest problem we have today in people who need to take this medication, and not everybody has to, or needs it, but when they do need it, is compliance, getting them to take the medication. Because the moment they feel better,
they
think, well, I'm better. And they stop taking it, and for the first week they feel fine, the second week they feel fine, the third week they feel fine, and suddenly in the fourth week they go back into the depression. But they don't make the connection between that and stopping it.
Catherine, if you were clinically depressed and you ruled out everything else, would you take such medication?
I would, but as a woman, I need to say the number one concern are the side effects. And that is what you hear a lot of women say, you know, I don't want to gain 30 pounds. I don't want to, I mean, if I'm in midlife, my libido is already low as it is. If I lose what little scrap I have left, this is not a good thing. So these are the concerns for women is, you know, what will my side effects be? And, you know, you usually have to wait a couple of weeks to be on an antidepressant to know what your side effects will be. So now I think if you, the most important thing is that you don't just go to your physician and who will just give you a sample of the latest thing that some salesman has been trying to promote. You need to really make sure your physician understands how to really treat women and manage antidepressants. Otherwise, go to a psychiatrist who's very knowledgeable on the newest strains of antidepressants, what your symptoms are, because that's very important to know exactly what your symptoms are. Like Dr. Hart said, not everyone has to be on medication. Not everything will work for everybody. So that is really important to be with a healthcare professional who really understands.
Now, there's great controversy now over estrogen. And estrogen is related to depression
it
in
sure
some
is.
Cases. And many women are being told they better not take it for fear of breast cancer or uterine cancer. And people are contacting us and saying, what in the world do I do? What kind of advice are you giving?
Well, definitely there's a link for women, especially in midlife. For PMS and PMDD, which is the premenstrual cycle, there's definitely some women who experience depression around that.
And the postnatal.
And the postnatal, after having
baby
a baby,
blues.
The baby blues. And there's some women, and recently, of course, in the media, we've heard about women who've had some very severe problems with that. So definitely the hormonal link is to be taken seriously. Now, in terms of estrogen, you know, being in my mid-40s, I will very often get together with women, and within a couple of minutes, we're right there talking
That's
about...
That's what they're talking
yes,
about.
Yes, what are you doing for this, and what are your symptoms, and what does your doctor say? And so it's an ongoing concern for women, and to get with your a physician who really understands this, and for every woman, it's so individual. You have to know your family history, what your vulnerability is. You have to really know what... whether you've had a hysterectomy or not. But I think that each woman has to make the decision for herself. And I know women who've on estrogen and their lives are so much different. And if they are not on it, they would live a very different life. Mm-hmm. And so there definitely is a place for it. And I think each woman has to know what her risk factor is and work with a physician who's knowledgeable. But there definitely is a place for it. And I think for some women, it's essential.
Hmm. The point Catherine was making, I think, is a very important one for us to emphasize. Make sure you get competent physician
yes.
help.
Yes.
Because we are over-prescribing antidepressants. You know, anyone who's a little bit sad gets an antidepressant, and it's not necessary. They are depressions that are loss-related, where you get fired from a job, where you suffer some bereavement. Maybe antidepressant isn't the right sort of medication to take.
We've put a great deal of emphasis on the professional help, physicians yes. and counselors, psychologists and others. But we've also talked earlier about the spiritual needs that people experience as related to depression. And pastors can be a great resource at that point.
Absolutely. I think no one should go to see a professional for help in their depression without also talking to their pastor. They need help and guidance and support spiritually through this journey as well, because that can make a big difference to the outcome of your treatment.
Talk about the estrogen-serotonin dance yes. that you talk about in your book.
Yes. Between in the childbearing years, between puberty and menopause, women experience their serotonin levels dancing with their estrogen levels. So when estrogen goes down, serotonin comes down, and that's when these depressions kick in. So you either have to prevent the swing down of the estrogen, stop pulling the serotonin with yeah. the estrogen replacement, or you maybe need to look at some of your lifestyle issues, because I believe that stress management lifestyle can help to keep that up and prevent that sort of depression.
The title of the book is Unveiling Depression in Women, A Practical Guide to Understanding and Overcoming Depression by Dr. Archibald Hart and Dr. Catherine Hart Weber, who've been our guests today for the second time, and there will be many, many more as long as I'm here. I can tell you that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you all. You're great friends, and we do love you, primarily because you love the Lord, right?
We love you, too.
Okay.
Thank you.
And that brings us to the conclusion of this two-day series with Dr. Arch Hart and Dr. Weber here on Family Talk. Ryan, Dr. Dobson noted there a minute ago that it's highly probable that this has really touched a nerve for some of our listeners.
That's true, Luann. Either they've dealt with it personally or perhaps a spouse or a family member has been struggling with that. Mm-hmm. And if that's you and you'd like to get a copy of the CD, call us at 877-732-6825. And you might want to pair this with one or more of the books you've heard about during the past 2 days. Unmasking Male Depression and Unveiling Depression in Women. If so, visit online at drjamesdobson.org.
Or if you need to find a counselor that can get you or someone you know on the path to healing, also contact us for direction in that regard. Our number is 877-732-6825. And again, the website, drjamesdobson.org. We would be happy to put you in touch with a counselor right there in your area.
Thanks again for joining us. And be with us tomorrow as we hear from singer and songwriter David Meese on his journey of forgiveness. That's next time on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
We'll see you then.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.